see the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us mate. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Brian, and today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and this is episode 682 of the Lost Project podcast, and it's titled New Racetrack. I'll be chatting about our new racetrack outside, String versus Blade on the Weed Eater, and is this the best we have? And a little bit more. Good morning. Good morning. Let's check out who's in the live chat. See who's hanging out in the coffee crew. Grab a cup and hang out for an hour. Thanks for joining me. New bag this morning. Always good with the new bag of coffee. And good morning, Pip, in early circle figure eight or drag strip. I suppose this would be a drag strip for sure. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for popping in. Rewilder Life is excited about racing. I don't know. I might have been a little misleading in the title, but you will see. You will see. Hunter, good morning over on Twitch. Thanks for joining in, and maybe you'll have another friend over there today. We will see. Cormac, good morning. K-Bonk and Rewilder Life is boiling eggs, splitting coconuts, and making bread. Are those all related items? Pip says the Karens have been trying to shut down Orlando Speed World for years. What exactly is Orlando Speed World? Is that like a drag strip? And why are they trying to shut it down? Does it bother them? Is it loud? Does it make a lot of smelly exhaust? Or I don't know. Why would they want to shut it down? Pickle Pete says, good morning. Good morning, Pickle Pete. Glad you made it home. Got home at 1 a.m. and he's beat. Well, I mean, at least you have priorities. At least Pickle Pete has priorities to show up for the show here and be around. Jim over on Noster sneaking in, double dipping, and appreciate that always, Jim over on Noster. And yeah. So what is the new bag? What? Thanks. Another Norman earthquake today, guys. I don't know what's going on. How all of a sudden everything got super bouncy, but it seems as though something happened over the weekend that yeah, I don't know what happened. I moved the Starlink. I don't think that makes the camper shake more, but we will see. Rewilder's Life says, because instead of racing cars, young people should sit at home and play video games or stand on the corner and sell drugs. Wow. That's I like it. Anyway, new bag this morning, new coffee this morning. We got GSD blend. Man, GSD blend is the first of the blends that the Lots Project put out, working with my buddy Brian over at foodforestfarms.com. I joined the C4 club and I was getting my coffee from him, and one of the things that comes along with C4 is a great mind in kind of sales, marketing, business, brainstorming, stuff like that. And I was like, hey, can I get you to make me up a blend of my own to sell? And he says, well, of course, you're a C4 member, and C4 members kind of rule the roost. We talked about it. I told him what I was looking for. I was looking for something for your average blue collar guy that wants to get up, or above average, that wants to get up and get shit done every day. A little higher on the caffeine, but not jittery and not added caffeine. Like, let's try to make this the best highly caffeinated coffee you can find. And man, he nailed it. He knocked it out of the park. It's it is the highest you're going to find as far as caffeine content without adding extra. It tastes perfect. It's smooth. It's enjoyable. And it doesn't leave you jittery, bouncing all over. You're going to go and get shit done. So GSD Blend from the Lots Project is available over at foodforestfarms.com. All you got to do is head on over there, check it out, and pick some up today. And if you're looking to have your own coffee brand, coffee white label, that sort of thing, you might be interested in talking to Brian and joining the C4 Club and spinning out your own bit of blend. So thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. And here's to you guys. Pip says Orlando Speed World has a drag, a drift, a circle track, a school bus racing. It was located out in the sticks, but houses started getting built around the track. Then homeowners started complaining about the noise. That's weird. Rewilder Life says she's so tired of the Karens. We've lost tons of riding trails because of them. Kim says, "Gee, I moved next to a racetrack and it's noisy. Now I have to shut it down." I hope he's being sarcastic, but God damn it, Jim. Stop standing on your yard and shaking your hand at the track yelling, "Get off my lawn!" Pip says YouTuber Cletus McFarland is having the same battle in courts down in DeSoto, Florida. Backwoods Butcher, good morning. Thanks for stopping in. Pickle Pete, a drift track, so a parking lot. I don't know. Karens are... We had the opportunity when we were looking to buy our farm, we were looking far and wide. Our budget wasn't ideal for what we wanted, and we knew we were going to have to settle. Jack Spirko says, everybody settles. And so we were looking at some acreage with some really crappy houses on them. We were looking at some smaller acreage with some better houses on them. It was a lot of driving well over the countryside to find what we could afford. And one of the things we looked at was this modular home on, it was a pretty cool property. I don't think it would have been very functional for what we wanted to do, but it was right next to a dirt track. Like legit, you could see it from the backyard. And I was like, well, we have two choices. We can either not buy this house or we can become dirt track fans and we can go there every single Friday and Saturday night when they're open, because there would be no avoiding the noise coming from it. And so Corey and I looked at each other and we're like, I don't know if we really want to become race fans that much. Hunter says dirt tracks are fun. Dirt tracks are fun every once in a while. Dirt tracks are fun if you're driving, which I don't have the money to do, obviously, by the fact that I was saying that we were budget hunting for a farm. Dirt tracks aren't fun when you have to go. When if you don't go, you might as well be there because of the dirt and the noise. So, yeah, we passed on that one. But yes, I do agree with you, Hunter. Dirt tracks are fun. I grew up in the Watkins Glen area, in New York, was relatively close. So we had Watkins Glen International Speedway, which was not a dirt track, but it was a road course. So there were a lot of local race fans, which makes a lot of local dirt tracks and a lot of local drivers and a lot of everything, which was pretty cool. Watkins Glen was a pretty interesting place. That place just overflowed when uh, when NASCAR came to town for sure. They also did like the thing that blew my mind is they used to do like classic car, like classic Porsche races where they were driving cars around that track that were worth more than the farm I ended up buying for sure. Why are we talking about Tyrese Gibson in Too Fast, Too Furious? Is that the second one? Or wait, did it go like Fast and the Furious, Fast and the Furious 2, Fast and the Furious 3, Too Fast, Too Furious? Is that like the fourth one? Like 2 times 2 is 4? Or when did it get to Too Fast, Too Furious, Kyle? Are you a Fast and the Furious aficionado like Survivor? That, yes. Yes. He's the guy that answers yes to the or question. Ronald Life says, my nephew races ATVs and his family has a race track in mid-Michigan. I can't wait to go watch. Back with Butcher said he lived at the racetrack. Was he homeless like me? Pip says fastish and furious wheelchair edition. K-Box says they're still doing vintage at Watkins Glen. Yeah, that stuff, that tripped me out the first time I went and saw that. And I'm like, so I wasn't necessarily a huge car guy. I wasn't necessarily a huge race fan. I had buddies that did dirt track stuff. I had friends as I got older that were in crews and things like that, that worked on the cars. So I was around the culture, but I never was really like, I wasn't like a motorhead by any means. And the first time I went to Watkins Glen and saw the classic Porsche races, I was like, how? Why? I mean, I get the fact you want to drive that fucker, especially after you spent that much money. But I don't know about driving it around a road course with a bunch of other stupid fuckers that are willing to drive their fucking multi-$100, $100,000 Porsches. I guess, whatever. Rewilder Life says grew up drag racing, but that was more illegal on the road. Well, I mean, there was that stuff. We did do that stuff. It was out on a country road. Somebody got a new car and somebody thought that their car was faster kind of thing. Like, let's do this shit. We didn't need a racetrack. There were plenty of racetracks everywhere I lived. We definitely knew where all the quarter mile flat non-turning roads were out in the country for sure, which it was. They were very few and far between in that area because everything was hills. Hunter says did ride in the Formula One around the track thing. Not impressed personally. Everyone else was super excited. I was actually telling Corey, I've sat in some of those European sports cars. And it is not for me. They're made for a guy that's probably like 5'6", 5'8", and size 6 shoe. Not meant for 6'4" with size 13s. I will tell you that for sure. We used to go over and test drive cars, the really nice cars, you know, because we were thinking we were going to buy one. maybe just wanted to go test drive. And I was one and done on like the European sports cars because they're just not the right size. Backwards Butcher says I was riveting body panels on my stepdad's race car an hour before prom. Did you take the race car to prom? Because that would be better. Pip says, I did take my truck around Sebring Raceway, so you can say I'm a pretty good driver. That and Jim down here, Jim must get his underwear at Kmart because he says he's an excellent driver. Is that on the driveway on Sundays, Jim? Is it only on the driveways on Sundays? Jesus. Anyway, let's talk about my... Jesus. Let's talk about our new racetrack. So I talked about, man, like it's so obvious. It's so obvious when you observe the world around you. I don't know before I kind of settled down and started really slowing down a bit and living this way and being in an unfamiliar area and having to constantly walk down this road. Like, I think our observation has gotten better. I mean, shit, Corey found a snail on the side of the road for our pet. Hunter's wondering if it's a snail thing. No, it's not a snail thing. No. Rewilder Life says our new land is on an ATV trail, so yeah, all summer. Rachel, here's one thing to keep in the back of your mind. If you have a spot that people can put a camper, or you have a spot where people can put up tents and they can also get in with a trailer, Hip Camp is a fantastic thing to host people looking to get on that trail and not have to trailer their shit from a hotel. We had a ATV trail that went from Duluth all the way, like three quarters of the way across the state or all the way across the state. It ran right by our house. Well, close enough to our house that there was a dirt road that got there. So you didn't have to trailer your side-by-sides and shit to get to the trail. We didn't put two and two together till right before we left. But yeah, as soon as I listed it for that, somebody booked it and pulled their camper back there with their side-by-side. And they were just so excited that they could just drive to the trail and spend all day there and then drive back and camp. So another thing. Horse trail. Oh, yeah. You're doing good. Anyway, we started observing quite a bit, and a few weeks ago, must not have been a few weeks ago, it was last week. Today's Tuesday, so yeah, last week, they started marking up the road out here a little bit. Some spray paint, some random markings, and then we started wondering what was going on, what they were going to do. The last time they did this, they installed fiber. So they ran the fiber on the side, and then all the markings on the road were kind of like where the pedestals were and things like that, where the connections were, where the fuse points were, all sorts of fun stuff. So last week they started marking the road, and Corey and I were like, I wonder what it is. I wonder what they're doing. And a few days later, they came by with the grader. I told you guys that it looked like we were going to be getting road construction, and they graded off the sides and, oh, shit. I'll have to... hold on a second, guys. I got to star these to come back to them. So what we noticed was with the grader that the guy went and then he stopped right when... he stopped right when he got to the markings. And I was like, okay, well, we're doing road construction. We're definitely doing road construction here. I don't know if they're going to be reclaiming the pavement, if they're going to be stripping it down, because when he graded out the shoulders... the road was actually like, I don't know. What would you think, Corey? Like a foot wider than the pavement on either side. So it was had significantly covered in, but it looked like the bottom layer was a different material than the top blacktop. And so I was thinking that they're probably going to grind up what was on top, remelt it, and then lay down a smooth layer. Or they were going to go right down to the dirt and put a whole new road in. You know, it's like, you never know what the budget is calling for and how many times. because it always seems like they'll re-top it three or four times and then take the whole thing out and start again. And since we've only been here a year, I have no idea how long it's been. The road was definitely in rough shape. And so we were wondering either way what was going to happen. So yesterday we're sitting here and looking out the camper window, and all of a sudden a truck pulls up to the line where the guy stopped grading, where there was a line on the ground, and he had a tanker truck, and it was one of the smaller municipal water trucks. And I'm not sure if it had oil or water in it. I have to assume it was water because it didn't smell like oil. Usually you can smell that pretty blatantly. He sat there for a while, and I was like, oh, wow, this is weird. That was afternoon by the time he pulled up, wasn't it? And so I was thinking maybe he was just scoping it out for the next day or something, but he sat out there. And then all of a sudden, here comes a paver. Here comes a crew of guys. Here comes some supervisor trucks. And I was like, well, they're going to do this shit today. I was interested. It was interesting. So a little bit about this road here. It is, I would say, if you wanted to get from this general area, and general area being maybe like a 6-mile radius, so 12-mile circle. Really can't go that far on the one side. If you're on this side of the river and you're going to want to get to the town like that I go and do laundry and get groceries and stuff, the next big town, I guess you would call it. It's not a city by any means, but big town where you're going to find a Lowe's and a Walmart and a Kroger and a laundromat and all that. This is kind of one of the main ways to get there is our road. There's a way to go around through town to go and kind of catch it further out, but it's unless you're in town, it's kind of a extra hike for sure. So we get a lot of traffic, Corey and I see it on our walks. We see it every day and we're like, we can't wait to get off this road. So I was curious, like, where the cars were going to go while they were doing this, because as they started paving, they had the roller and the paver, and then they had a supervisor's truck just like parked across the road. And I'll tell you, that dude fucking sat there for like 4 hours in his truck. Like, legit, they could have brought somebody on the crew, drove up in the truck and parked it and gone and worked and came back and picked it up, because like the guy never moved. I was like, I like his job. And so he sat there, they started paving the road. I'm like, oh, this is kind of late in the day for them to start, because they had to go quite a ways down the road. And then we see the roller guy come in, he's rolling back and forth, and he kind of goes out of view, and they're moving along, and we can't see them anymore. And we're sitting here going, huh, all the traffic's turning around. Cars are coming. They're probably going the long way around. There's two different ways you can get around. But there must have been no signage whatsoever, because there were, good morning, Chris. Good morning, Chris Dixon. Did somebody put a gun to your head and make you show up? Says, I'm sorry, I'm late. I didn't really want to come. Thanks. So anyway, I don't think they had any signage up or anything that the road was closed, because cars kept showing up and turning around. Which isn't bad. I mean, we have two driveways here and they have plenty of room to turn around. They're turning around. And then all of a sudden, Corey and I are sitting here, and every afternoon, usually when we're on our walk, unless we consciously wait till after, the school bus comes and drives down the road. They have one stop, maybe two, depending on the day, on this stretch of road. And then they keep going and deliver the rest of the kids home. And so the school bus comes rolling up, and Corey and I are like, uh-oh, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And legit, the one stop they have every day is two houses down from us. Like a large lot, an extra large lot, and then the next lot is where the bus drops every day. And I'm like, oh, shit, are they going to make the kids walk? Because they were like, they were within walking distance. They were two houses away from where they were. I guess it's three if you count the house across the street. It'd be three houses away. And so the bus sits there, and she's like, guy gets out of the truck. They're like kind of jawing back and forth, and what's going to happen here? And then the bus turns around and leaves. And I'm like, how are they going to get the kids home? It's not like she could go around the other direction and come in the other way. They were paving that direction. So I had to assume that it was blocked that way. And I'm just thinking to myself, what is going to happen here? So she turns around, leaves. No, she didn't drop the kids off. She was still there, or still on the bus, and she leaves, and we're sitting there waiting and waiting, and some more cars come, and this and that, and all of a sudden, another supervisor truck rolls up with the bus again. It had probably been like 10 minutes, maybe a little more, and then we're sitting here, and the guy gets out of the truck and goes over to the guy that was blocking the road, and he's like, just gotta go there, like they were like explaining. I think she went and like got the guy's supervisor or something. It was like, I gotta let these kids get home. Like, I don't know where she went for a while, but all of a sudden she was back with the guy's boss. They move everything. They let her roll down to the street, and then she must have turned around in the people's driveway, and she came back this way. So hopefully she didn't have any of the rest of the kids. Hopefully she didn't have any of the rest of the kids on the bus. But I was like, how does this municipality, and maybe it was county, because I saw on Facebook later that somebody was taking pictures of the, I think it's my neighbor, was taking pictures of the equipment saying, well, good to see the county tax dollars hard at work. I was like, all right, maybe this is the county road. But how is there not a forethought from someone, from anyone, that we might be shutting this road down and there might be a school bus? There might be, you know, something, an ambulance. Do we not notify critical infrastructure systems when we're going to do something like this, when we're going to shut down a major artery? As major as it gets around here, I guess. But before we do this, don't we kind of like, oh, hey, I wonder. Or we just wait for it to happen, I guess. I don't know. I would have thought that it would have been something they would have thought through. But anyway, it looks like the kids got delivered, no problem, and the bus was back. And it looks as though Corey was out this morning. We didn't want to go walk the dogs down the road last night, right after they got done. But it looks like it was a one and done. It looks like we're not going to have to deal with any road construction with the dogs, which we were not looking forward to, because they would definitely have had it. It wasn't going to be fun. But now the road's there. Corey said it's quite a bit higher. It looks like they probably put a pretty decent cap on it, and probably push it down the road for another 5 to 10 years till they have to do it again. But I'm kind of upset. I am a little upset. This road, like I said, definitely needed a top coat. Definitely, probably could have used after this winter and the extreme freeze we had. I'm guessing the base is all fucked up too. So they were just putting a fucking scab on a gash for sure. But now the nice part about that was people didn't drive too fast. I mean, they drove fast. probably faster than I am comfortable with some of them, since I have to walk on the side of the road and there's no shoulder, there's no sidewalk, there's no fucking anything really. Like when a car comes, we go walk in the ditch. But it is the only really place to get to from our where we're staying. Now the thing is like a fucking racetrack. It's like smooth. It is ready to go, and I can only imagine how fast people are going to go now. It's not going to be fun. Not going to be fun. We'll see, though. We'll see. The road is wider now. I don't know if I'll be able to walk on the edge and have enough room for people to get by. Maybe now that the road is wider, people won't have to wait when they come up to another car and we're right where they are. People would like slow down and wait, even though there were two car widths and we were way off in the ditch. They would like stop, like it was a stop sign, and the other car would go by them and then they would go. Which is courteous. I get it. I appreciate that for sure. But at some point, you got to realize that there's enough fucking room for you to go. I don't know. Chris Dixon says, but it won't be dusty. It wasn't dusty before. It was just pothole pavement that made people slow down and not speed like that. But we'll see. We'll see. Hunter said up here, he was wondering if we built a track, and I told him no. He said snail racing is a thing, and we might be training Sydney. Corey, did you know that snail racing is a thing? Are you going to train Sydney for snail races? Corey says she might, but she has to find him first. He's been missing. He hasn't been missing as far as we don't feel that he escaped the terrarium, but went rogue. He buried himself in the dirt. He buried himself in the dirt, maybe having eggs, maybe fucking himself and then having eggs, because he's a hermaphrodite. So that's definitely a possibility. I'm pretty sure that's what hermaphrodite means, is you have both. Hey, Digger, welcome to the show. what? It's in a box. It's a terrarium, dude. It like legit. I went to the pet store and got a God, a terrarium. Corey wanted me to get a 5-gallon fucking terrarium for our one snail. I got us, I think it's like a 2.5. And if that fucking snail dies, I know it's going to be my fault. Rewilder Life says, oh no, Brian's using gender neutral words. I don't think hermaphrodite and he, she is an LGBTQRY acceptable term, Rachel. I'm pretty sure they shy away from the both. You get to pick whatever you want to be, but you can't be both. Oh man. Chris Dixon says it's like our county bridges, or our county bridges, they're wide enough for two, but it becomes common to stop and let the first person cross. I fucking send it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say probably half or more of the people understand that if they just slow down to a reasonable speed and pass the other car on the road, the fact that we are not on the road, the fact that we were down off the shoulder in the ditch, means they probably can pass each other on the road. Rewilder Life says I should be quiet and not let Corey know that I should get a b- body double. I don't know. Like, I've looked for snails now. Since Corey found one, I've looked pretty consistently and not found anything. I don't know. I think Sydney is probably my hope. My hope is Sydney fucked himself and then he's going to lay eggs. She's going to lay eggs. So I guess if he is using his penis, it's a male. And if it's using its eggs or whatever female reproductive system it has, I don't know the reproductive system of a snail, but the term hermaphrodite lends me to believe it's got male and female organs. It's not asexual, which I believe is neither. I don't know. This could all be wrong. This could all be changed because of modern terminology. But back in the day, when I was learning about that stuff in health class. Hey, Jim, did they have hermaphrodites when you were back in school? Back when you guys were using stone tablets and chisels? Anyway, love the new road. I love the fact that I'm driving on it and I don't have to deal with the potholes, but I am not sure how it's going to play out as far as speed. If anything has clued me into the area, I'm guessing there's going to be a fucking cop sitting below the hill on a daily basis. This area, this town in particular, I see it referred to many, 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 many times as a speed trap. Now, I can see why. As you get to the city limits, even though it's country, I would say it's country back roads, and no difference between the road you were just on and the road you were entering by passing a magical line across the road, suddenly goes from 55 miles an hour to 45 miles an hour all the way into town. Then it drops to 30 and then it drops to 25 in town. So the cops just eat them up. They eat them up on that fucking road. So 55, you hit the 45 and then it goes down a huge hill in as you're coming down into town. And you're looking at cow pastures and cornfields and barns and nothingness. And if you miss that 45 sign, it's not like reduced speed ahead and it's 145 mile an hour sign. If you don't see that, if you don't see that sign, you're absolutely screwed. Because even if you were going 55 and you hit that, hill, you're going to accelerate. Like, I can get to coming out of town, it's not as bad because you're going up the hill. But this road also kind of goes flat for, I would say, half mile, and then there's a huge hill. So I could definitely see, and there's some hiding spots. There are definitely some hiding spots where that little fucker could back in or shoot a gun up over the crown of the hill and get people before they can lock the brakes up. It's set up. I would not be surprised if they're even out there today. Pip says, meanwhile, the cops are heavy breathing. Get your pens sharpened up, boys. We're going to be writing tickets left and right out here. I don't even know what speed limit is on this road. I believe it's 45 or 55 or something. I go like 30, so. Sorry, guys. I'm congested. Pollen or something. Rewilder Life said, did you try calling it? Maybe it will come to slithering to its name. Chris Dixon says, Brian on the floor calling, Sydney, here's Sydney. And the snail's like, dude, I fucking heard you. Give a snail a minute. They're actually kind of fast. Jim brings up an interesting point. Jim thinks Cynthia doesn't like being called Sydney. Sydney is a male and female name, Jim. That's why we chose it. We were gonna choose Corey, but somebody was a little irritated about that. We were thinking maybe Jamie. There's a lot that can go both ways. Chris, Stacy, what? Shannon, Stacy, Jim, Kim. Pickle Pete says Pat. I'm hoping we have babies so we can just have a bunch of fucking hermaphrodites running around. And so if you got a bunch of hermaphrodites and they're used to doing themselves, do they actually like hook up and make pairs? Speaking of Pat, and it's Pat. Thanks, Chris. It's Pat. I saw a throwback to they were talking about Pat from Saturday Night Live. And can you imagine? I mean, a lot of people in this audience are old enough to remember Pat. A lot of you might not be. I don't check IDs at the door, even though I probably should. Welcome to the show. Fuck it all. But Pat, if you don't know, Pat on Saturday Night Live was ambiguous, to say the least. No one was really sure. Sorry. No one was really sure if Pat was a man or a woman. There were signs, and then they would just do something else the other way. They were blatantly playing on that. And I can only imagine if Pat was on Saturday Night Live this weekend. I'm curious what would happen. We should write a writing campaign to get Pat back on Saturday Night Live. If you don't know who Pat is, definitely go YouTube and search after the show, of course. YouTube and search It's Pat, Saturday Night Live. I guess it would probably been early 90s, late 80s. Early 90s? Probably. Way back in the 1900s. When people were evil and they didn't care what people thought their gender was. Guys, I just want to let you know with the Bitcoin halving happening over the weekend. Pat needs to be on The View. I'm pretty sure that's the sound Pat made. Pip says someone needs to remake Blazing Saddles in the most offensive way possible. I'm not sure Blazing Saddles could get more offensive because they literally made fun of everyone. My old man saw that in the theater. And I grew up around Blazing Saddles. And the beauty of Mel Brooks is he didn't give a fuck about anything. He made fun of everyone and had the people that they were trashing on were making fun of the people right back in the movie. I think it would be fantastic. I think you could get like Dave Chappelle could play the black guy. I can't remember what his name was. And then he was definitely equal opportunity offender, Pip. Who could play the sheriff? Man, what was his name? Wild. Who could play him? I mean, Dave Chappelle would be perfect because, I mean, Dave Chappelle literally played a KKK guy. And if you haven't seen that one, if you haven't seen Dave Chappelle play the blind KKK guy, definitely check that out. But yeah, Blazing Saddles reboot would be great. Before that, I was talking about Bitcoin halving. And if you cleave on little, if you made it through the halving unscathed and Bitcoin hasn't gone away, hasn't gone to zero, hasn't gone to a million, we're still steady right here in the 60 to 70 range. What a great time to get it all rolled into a Blockstream Jade that I've talked about. You can find Chris Rock could play the white guy. Bill Burr, yeah. I was thinking maybe like that Matt Rife would be probably good for it. I don't know if he's edgy enough, but it's a good time. Fees are going to go up, guys. Fees are up a little bit. Fees are really going to go up in the future. So if you want to consolidate your stacks that you're just holding forever in 16 different wallets, maybe pick up a Blockstream Jade. You can get a discount at the website at thelotsproject.com under recommended products. But when you get it on that Jade, you're going to get a seed phrase, just like everything else. Every wallet you get, you're going to get your 12 or 24 word seed phrase. And you're going to write it on a notebook and you're going to put it in your safe and you're going to feel all safe and secure. And then your house is going to burn down and your fire safe that you thought was rated to withstand it isn't going to withstand it. And your seed phrase is going to be gone. And God forbid your phone was in there in the fire and you had to jump out and you didn't take your phone. And all your Bitcoin now is in the ether because you don't have your seed phrase. Yes, I know some people go the extra mile to make extra copies and throw them across the country or to other people or relatives or this or that. But how nice would it be to have them stamped into titanium? Yeah, talking stamp seed. Stampseed.com is a pretty cool site that I'm working with now. I'm doing some content with them. I showed you guys the Bitcoin stamp that they sent me to check out. It's pretty cool, actually. Gives you the Bitcoin logo. Fees are going up. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. Like everybody's been telling you for months and years. Make a stack and just keep it. But anyway, Stamp Seed is a great way to get your seed phrase permanently in titanium. Basically, they sell all sorts of accessories and full kits to stamp your seed phrases on a little titanium plate. I don't have one right here within reach, or I show you, but yeah, get it stamped in there. It's in titanium. It will withstand most fires. Obviously, you can burn it if you really, really, really want to. But most fires, you got it in a fire safe, you're going to come out unscathed and you have a permanent record. No water is going to race it away or smudge it up. You're always going to be able to read it. It just takes a little bit of time to stamp in your seed phrases. Consider it. I put the link in the comments and also discount code the Lots Project. It'll get you 15% off. But stampseed.com, they got a bunch of cool stuff. And you should definitely check them out. And when you're there, use the discount code. There's no special link. There's no anything like that. So if you're listening, you're going to go check it out later. Check out stampseed.com. Use code thelotsproject at checkout for 15% off. Quality product, guys. Definitely a quality product. And something you might not think about that you might want until you actually needed it before whatever happened that made you think about it. You spill a cup of coffee on your password book, on your seed phrase book, and it's all ruined, or God forbid you have a fire. Yeah, that was just on my list. I've been meaning to talk about Stamp Seed for about a week now, and it just gets put on the bottom. So I finally put it in the middle of the show. Yesterday I headed out to Delinquent Scully. I had been noticing when I was out there. Chris says nice pop-up ad. A guy's got to eat, guys. A guy's got to eat. I do earn affiliate commissions if you use that code. You guys get 15% off and I get 10%. Wait. Can I asked the guy, I was like, can I flip that around? Can I get 15 and give my people 10%? No, I didn't. No, I was excited that you guys got more than I did. I do, really, actually. anyway, I was noticing when Corey and I have been out to Delinquent's Gully, when I've been out working with Tim on his cabin, that the trails Corey and I cut in were starting to grow in. It's that time of year, obviously, and the stuff's growing in like crazy. So I got out there, I started weed eating. We got a couple of weed eaters out there, and man, one is really interesting. It's I've never had a four cycle weed eater. Always dealt with the oil gas mix, always dealt with the bullshit of that two stroke. Tim picked up a four cycle weed eater, and the thing is pretty slick. It seems to start easier, it seems to run nicer. And when you've used it for a while, it's not hard to start again. That was always my problem with weed eaters, was you battle it to get it started. Maybe you get lucky, you get it started pretty quick. But once it's hot, the shit won't start again. In my experience. And maybe I'm just doing it wrong. No, I'm not rechoking it. No, I'm not. No. But it's really nice to just drop the gas in. You don't have to mix gas. You don't have to do anything. And it runs like a champ. The only problem was I ran out of string about halfway up the hill. I walked back down. We have actually a couple of weed eaters there. And they are the ones that you can put different attachments on. Both of them, different brands. They all fit together. There was another head down there that had the static trim lines. The ones that don't feed out, they're just like little loops and you use them till they're gone. Then you change them all, burn through those real quick. I don't know if they were old and brittle or what, but man, they were instantly just gone. And so I came down and I started searching for some string. Of course, I didn't look where the string was. I'm pretty sure it was up in the cabin and not where I was looking, where that was stored, where the weed eaters were stored. So I put on these blades. Not a fan of the blades. And I don't know if it was necessarily the blade or the terrain or what it was, but the weed eater ran funny. It didn't feel balanced right. It was, it had a really weird noise to it. And the blade just, I can see it working for some woody, thicker stuff, but the stuff I was cutting, it almost just like lopped it over instead of cutting it off. Definitely a fan of the string. And on the hill that I'm working on, that at the grade like this, it definitely worked better. So yeah, I don't know. You guys use blades on your weed eaters, your string trim, your edgers, or whatever the hell you guys call them wherever you're at. We always call them a weed eater. I know people call them a string trimmer, but man, string trimmer would be great without the blade. I didn't like it. I didn't like the blade. So back to it after I found out that there was string somewhere else. Not sure if I'm going to get out there today or if it'll be later in the week, but the trails go pretty quick. I was hoping that keeping the growth small after Corey and I went through and hacked out the paths with the loppers and a machete and all of that, and got the thick stuff out. I was hoping that it worked well to just keep it knocked down. And man, I got way farther than I had expected before I ran out of string. The problem was it didn't have much string to start, and I didn't realize that. But I was impressed with the ground I covered in the time, just keeping it knocked down. Just lots of pioneering species, May apples and weeds growing up and things like that. So knocking it down with that string was just right up the hill. So that's encouraging that the maintenance of the trails won't take much at all now that we did the heavy work of getting the shit out of there. Chris Dixon says, I have a four stroke with a steel triangle type blade 2 years before I changed it out. That's what this had, was a blade, the triangle blade. And I don't know if it just got mangled from using it near rocks or whatever, but for sure it didn't cut as well for string, or cut as well as the string for what I was cutting. And it could have just been what I was cutting and where I was cutting it. K-Bong says, keep an eye open for morals. They're long gone here. It's past moral season here. Moral, whatever. I can't pronounce shit anyway, so I don't know why I even try. Good morning, John Palmer. How we doing? Pickle Pete says, keep an eye out for magic mushrooms. They're all going to make you trip at least once, right? Tons of mushrooms out on the property. Definitely tons of mushrooms. We didn't see any morels. Didn't see any. And as tall as the May apples are, even in the north facing slopes, I think we're past. There's no morals on this show, that's for sure. And John Palmer says, you have no morals. You guys want a bigger softball for me to throw out there for you? Jesus. You guys can't be a little more creative. K-Box says, yeah, they come out with the May apples. Yeah, usually from what I could tell, the ground temperature for the May apples to shoot up is the right temperature for the spores to start populating. And then by the time the May apples have jumped up and opened up the canopy at the first time, so they come up and they're like a umbrella and then they pop open. And when they pop open, that's where you should see harvestable, the ground temperature, you should see harvestable morels. But we'll see. We'll see. Go for it. Yeah. No, I already gave you the softball. I'm not giving you guys another easy shot today. All I did was say morals, and you guys should have had like 75 comments out there. Jesus. What? Oh, we got more comments over there. Good morning, Pip, over on Noster. Thanks for that zap. Thanks for the zap, Jim. I appreciate it. Rolling today. I appreciate that. That helps keep the show over there on Noster and helps me from having to put out a bunch of sats for it when you guys zap the show. I appreciate it. Let's see what else we got here. All right, real quick before we get out of here, and this is probably good that I'm doing it right at the end, so I keep an eye on getting out of here, but I don't really follow any of the bullshit politics anymore. I see it. It's everywhere. It's in your fucking face. No matter where you turn, at some point, you're going to see some of the insanity that's going on. If you guys don't know, we're in a presidential election here. I guess it's Don versus Joe again. Am I right? Like, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't paid attention, but from what I understand, they fast-lined old Donnie into the nomination for the Republicans, and they shoot in Sleepy Joe for the Democrats, right? So it's those two. It's like Trump v. Biden 2. Who can stand up this time? But anyway, I was scrolling through I think it was actually Noster, unfortunately. And somebody had, and it was a joke. it was a K-Bong says mix in RFK. Okay. Like literally don't look at any of it. RFK is in Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy. Is this Bobby Kennedy? Kid? I don't even know. There are so many Kennedys out there. Is this one related to the one that drowned the girl in the river, or is this the one related to the guy they shot in the head? Or are they all related? Weird. Anyway, up comes this shit about Biden the other day. About his uncle. Like, I feel so far behind because I don't look at any of it. And then I see it, I'm like, what the fuck? And I like, I want to talk about it. Then I'm like, well, it's almost like a kid learning to read in fifth or sixth grade. He's like excited to read. But everybody else has been reading since third grade. Jim says JFK Jr. is coming back, and Hunter says RFK is the nephew to the Dallas guy, I think, as in the dude that took his last car ride in Dallas. Is that what you're saying? Anyway, have you seen the cannibal stuff with fucking Biden? I go down this path and I'm like, so this dude literally said this shit about his uncle was in a plane crash and they never recovered the body in New Guinea because that area is populated by cannibals. And I'm like, this has got to be like an AI. This has got to be an AI press conference. But this dude was at a press conference talking about his uncle. And goes on to say that most likely he was eaten by cannibals. And then a reporter asked the press secretary, the little dark girl with the weird afro thing. I don't know what her name is. But they asked her and they're like, so there was a plane crash and we verified that the uncle was on a plane crash, but there were like 11 survivors and no one mentioned anything about eating anybody or anyone else getting eaten. And I was like, huh, interesting. And that just got me pondering, are these the best people we could find? Like, you got Elon Musk with a team of people at Tesla and SpaceX and all this doing shit where they're shooting rockets into the air. They're flying up and deploying satellites and then bringing them back and landing them. We got people like engineering bridges and buildings. We have just brilliant people in this country. And the fucking best we can come up with is some dude that can't walk up a set of stairs, that can't ride a fucking bike, that talks about shit that's just gibberish, that lies about his family being killed or being eaten, I guess, by cannibals. And then you got a retread that was president, then he lost. Like, he's the one that said he didn't like McCain because he was a fucking loser and got caught. So he lost. But now he changes his mind and losers are okay and we should elect him. These are the best fucking people we can come up with to run this country. And don't think that I think that they are actually running the country. Like, it's hyperbole, but... Like, John Palmer says Elon wasn't born here. He can't be president. I understand he can't be president, but he's got a lot of people that work for him that were born here that are a lot fucking smarter than Joe Biden or Donald Trump. It's like Idiocracy. Like, dude, you're the smartest man in the world. You're the smartest man in the world. Have we always been this way? Has it been social media? Has it been the 24/7 cameras that have exposed this bullshit? Were the people that wrote the Constitution, and I'm not holding the Constitution up there like it's the Holy Grail, but it's a hell of a lot better than what we got going on now. Were they were those people like this? Or has it turned into Idiocracy, where a guy goes to sleep and gets hibernated, and when he goes to sleep, he's the most average person in the world, and when he wakes up, he is the fucking smartest person in the world? Hunter says the Founding Fathers were in their 20s. It may have been worse. John Palmer mentioned that Elon wasn't born here. Do you guys realize that Elon Musk is an African-American? I want to know if Tesla claims minority status as a business. Minority owner status. I guess that's probably public, so that sends the shit for a skew. But when Elon starts shit up, is it considered a minority-owned business? Because literally, he is an African-American. I don't ever see on the African-American thing where it says you have to be black. I don't know. Does it count? Charlize Theron? I don't know. What do you guys think? Oh, God. Anyway, Pickle Pete is waiting in the wings. He has recap from the weekend. Maybe a little bit of adventure to talk about and things that he experienced over the weekend. If you got an hour, you want to pop over and check out Pickle Pete over on the Food Forest Farms Facebook or YouTube. Jesus. I don't even know where he's doing his show. YouTube, you can check that out after this. Other than that, we're going to be back tomorrow. I got a bunch of stuff on the list here that I can throw on again and roll with. It's just an ongoing list. Other than that, I appreciate everybody listening. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit that like, share, and subscribe. To return value for value, please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any value for value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. Looks like Fountain.fm has got some big changes over there. I haven't really popped on and checked it out that much, but Podcasting 3.0 is here. You can also visit thelotsproject.com to find all my partner companies' discount codes and affiliates and a ton of information about me and links to all my stuff. ComfreeRoots.com is up and rolling. If you want to get your Comfrey Roots in the ground, head to ComfreeRoots.com or share it with somebody that you know could use it. Other than that, it's Tuesday, guys. It's just another Tuesday. We're going to go take the dogs for a walk, see how bad the racetrack is. Hopefully, I see you guys tomorrow and the racetrack doesn't get spin out of control. Hope you have an awesome day. Get a bunch of shit done, and we will talk to you tomorrow.